Okay, we are back on the record. An advocacy staff just completed its presentation of its case, and at this time, Tom's Tobacco Service, Inc. can proceed with its case. Mr. Thompson, go ahead. Do you intend to testify on behalf of the company?
Oh, can you get your mic, Tom? Turn your mic on, please, sir.
Yes, Your Honor, I'd like to testify.
Yep, and I'll have you go ahead over to the witness stand then.
You know, Your Honor, I'm okay if the counsel's okay that Tom can stay at his chair and testify there, unless there's a protocol to have him up here. It might be easier just to...
I can sit here. This is fine.
All right.
If you don't mind.
As long as you're okay with that.
I'm okay.
Okay.
Mr. Thompson, you've been in the room as I've advised the other witnesses of the penalty for perjury, and do you understand that penalty?
Yes, I do.
And being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter?
Yes, I do.
And you can proceed with your testimony at this time.
Your Honor, if I may, in case it wasn't clear from the record, could we have Mr. Thompson state his name and...
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead and state your name and your position with Tom's Tobacco Service. I'm assuming you're an officer, and so go ahead and give that background.
Thomas Lee Thompson. I own Tom's Tobacco with my wife. She's actually the president. I'm the vice president. I've been in business for about 34 years. So I shouldn't even say this, but I've cut my share of lines off before, whether it's whose fault it is. But I've never been in front of anything like this before or had anything like this because it's been worked out. On the admission of guilt that I hear sometimes by me paying a bill, sometimes it's easier to tell my wife to pay the bill because she's the one who catches all the heck when the bill collectors call after so many months. And also it keeps better relations with a utility company. And when they're only $400, I don't turn them into my insurance. I just pay them. I would like to explain what happened. This project that we were doing, we were installing a large new storm sewer because there was a bunch of hotels built the year before in this location, and they had petitioned. And I would say there was a half a mile of storm sewer. I'd come up Highway 83 in the ditch and come up and jogged over a block, and I couldn't tell you the exact street name, and then went 1,500 feet up 4th Street to where this was at the end manhole for the storm sewer, okay? And I dug up and did some water services and other things on this, and I crossed it on this street. I do believe I crossed it like 11 times is what I was guessing. And it was about a 4-inch main, I do believe, that was in the edge of the ditch, on the upper edge of the ditch, or in the middle of the ditch on this road. There was ditches on this road. There is no more. These are all filled in. This is all curb and gutter section now. But it was at the end of the line, and I was in the backhoe, and I was digging, and we come up to the line, and we stop short of the line, and we potholed it off 3 feet off to the edge, and part of the reason we did 3 feet off to the edge because that was on the edge of the road, and it was easier digging right there than digging right straight in the road. I was taking the class 5 off with the backhoe bucket is when I hit the line, and I didn't hit it with the back. I hit it with the back of the backhoe bucket because I was dragging the backhoe bucket, so I didn't contaminate. I didn't want to get the clay in the class 5 because we'll save it for bedding. But anyway, and that's when one of the guys that was with me could hear something, and there was a crack in the line. A rock had pushed through it from the back of the bucket. Okay. It was 3 foot deep, probably 3-4 feet away, and here it had come up in that time, and it came up. It went right back down again. And then it zigged around a whole bunch. And part of it is the end manhole was right where the gas line was. And so we were hoping to find some slack anyway so the gas line could come around the manhole, which eventually ended up working out anyway. But I had to dig that service line up out to the edge of the right-of-way on the other side of the road because there was a storm sewer line that was stubbed out from the hotels there to hook to. And when I dug this up, I found four splices in the gas line. And I don't know if it was before I dug it up or after I dug it up, I had talked to the service technician from MDU, and he had said this thing had been cut last year twice. Well, I didn't know that. I don't know the name of the firm, but I knew it had been cut by the water and sewer installers because they had hooked into the sanitary sewer there. And I didn't know, but she answered it was by Central Trenching had cut the other one. Well, hindsight like it is now I know what happened. But when they cut it, I'm going to assume that they were probably left a little slack to bury so they could fit their utilities in. And this is why the thing, and it's hard to argue with somebody about a locate when there's no locate marks left. It didn't go exactly where the locator had put it, but that wasn't entirely his fault because the copper line wasn't attached to the gas line in probably half of the road there. It went this way, but the gas line went out and around. But I didn't hit it there. I had it located and dug it all the way across. I mean, part of the questions are, how often do I have to dig a pothole to be safe? I mean, from what I'm hearing, I would have had to dig all the line up all the way with a shovel to make sure where it was. It's not common practice for anybody to bury a line that goes up and down and up and down. I'm going to say it was a little bit of it wasn't the gas company's negligence for the other contractors when they buried it not to be assured that it was down at the right depth. And when I reburied it again, I had her come out and she witnessed that everything was done right and stuff. I mean, I've been doing this for years. And especially when I'm personally involved. I have 30 employees, and so I'm a hands-on boss. Let's see. It took about an hour for them to come out because there was no major gas leaking in the area. And so during that hour, I dug everything out underneath the gas line, and I started digging parallel to it to see if a lot of times if they can get slack, they'll just cut a little piece out, put it together. It's easy. But I started digging that out, and so the hole was open. You can look in the picture, you can see, but if you could see to the east, you would see, I think, a larger hole. I do believe he came and he patched it, and I believe he came back later and cut some of them four splices that were already in here because he didn't want to have that many splices under the road, which made sense, and we were going to have it open for a day. And so at least that we put it back in, it was so the splices would be hopefully outside or on the very edge of the road so they don't have to dig the road up again. When I crossed it that 11 times, we dig it up by hand every time. We take no chances. Gas is very dangerous. And so we dig it up all the time. It's not a negligence part that we never dig it up. We always dig it up. I guess going to the other previous ones that I allegedly damaged, I'll start out with the one that I never got a bill for because they couldn't prove it. The gas line was put in the 50s, I do believe, a 4-inch steel main. And it cracked on the weld because weld was a 16th of an inch thick. And it was one of their technicians there. He says, I'll show you what was wrong with this line. Now, we don't. When I dug it up, it was, and this is a fun part when you're the excavator, it was 7 feet deep. How do you locate a gas line in the middle of a street that's 7 feet deep? We did a lot of hand digging, I just will tell you. It took 6 hours for, I think, three guys for us to find this. And we had no idea it was that deep. And that's where I would like the one call thing to address that a little bit, because to give us an idea, it's one thing if it's 3 feet deep, but when we're looking for something, sometimes even on this job I had locates done, and they said there was a cable there. On three crossings, they said there was a cable that was probably a two-inch phone cable. It wasn't there. We never found it. We had them come back out there, and eventually they figured out that it had stopped at a pedestal before. The steel gas line, the weld wasn't all the way through and didn't penetrate. Now, part of the whole thing is we dug it up probably for 15 feet. Did we relieve the stress on the line and it cracked? It was about a week and a half, 2 weeks later. And when you talk about costs, I already had the road put back and the first lift of tar in the road on this one. And we smelled gas in our storm manholes. And then they sent a machine out, and pretty darn good machine, because it went, after they were there a while, went right exactly to the spot where it was leaking. And it was set 7 feet down. Anyway, they had repaired it, and I put all the dirt back in. I put all the class pipe back in, and I paid for the asphalt that had to get ripped out on that one. It wasn't that I felt I was guilty. I was just doing my part. Because I have no control over if that thing was welded that good or not. One of the other gas lines, and I couldn't tell you if it was the first or the second one. I believe it was the first one. We dug by it. We never hit it, but we smelled gas. And there, on the T, on the gas line, it was cracked right on the right where it went on the T. And one of their technicians says to me, this isn't your fault. This thing was heated up way too much when it was fused in, and it's brittle. He says, we need to fix the whole thing. And I didn't know I got a bill for that one. The next one was the next gas line, which I didn't even know was there. I'll just say, in the road where it was marked across, and I won't say it was or wasn't because I don't remember ever seeing it, there was no marks. There was no marks in the lawn either, because I think it was flagged and somebody mowed their lawn probably 2-3 days before when the locates had been there. The only, after I hit this line, I went over and behind some bushes was a gas meter, which is 150 feet from where I'm sitting on the house, and there was a flag by the gas meter, but I had never seen it. And so to claim responsibility for that, if we were going to tell me that I was at fault for any of them, even including the last one, I would say not the last one. I'd be guilty of cutting the one, but I didn't see no locates on it. And they worked with me on it and everything, and I guess I can be my own worst enemy telling the truth. And after listening here, normally we'll meet with a, we'll call a locate ticket in, And if it's a very difficult one, we'll meet the locator and show them what to locate. And like in this case, we'd been on the job for a while. And so the locator would come out and we would call a locate in maybe for 1,500 feet, but we only needed 500 feet at that time. And we'd walk through them and say, we're going to be up to here. We would like you not to waste your time and locate this three more times, locate up to here and try to work with them so it doesn't waste their time all the time. I guess I have no more further to add. I just don't. Well, I've said it. I didn't agree with this one because I didn't feel I was guilty on this one. I took care not to hit that line because I dug it up right there, and it came up that much, and it was in the class five. It wasn't in the clay, and that's right on the edge of the road. The ditch dropped off probably at a 45-degree angle at least, right down, probably down about 2 feet. And then that's when one of the reasons they storm sewered to get rid of some problems they had there. But I thought I did my utmost there. And then after I found out that a couple other contractors had cut it, and that's why it was laying in there in an unpredictable form. So thanks. And
thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Norell, go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Thompson, thank you. You had stated that you've been doing this for 30-some-odd years, and I believe you also said you had 30-some employees. Is that correct?
Well, 30.
How often are you on scene doing the excavation? Do you go out with the crews, or you describe that?
I'm a hands-on boss. I'm there a lot.
And you were on scene on this one, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and you were the one who...
I was the one in the excavator.
Okay. There's been a lot of discussion about how to physically locate that line. In your experience, how do you typically do that? You come up to a scene, you see paint and you see flags. What happens next? All the way from you walk on scene to digging and locating that line?
Sometimes you have somebody that you send ahead and have them start digging lines up.
Do they dig by hand?
Dig by hand.
Okay.
You dig with a shovel, and that's generally how we do it.
Over the markings you dig by
Yep, hand where the markings are, yes.
So you said about 3-4 feet away, you'd pothole the line there,
yep,
to locate it. And then did you start digging on top of the markings where you struck this line? Did you start digging by hand, or did you dig with the excavator?
The excavator, I was removing the class five.
And then on that same spot where the 36 inches, where it was 36 inches deep, where you had potholed it, did you dig over the top of that with the excavator?
No. Okay. No, that was all with a shovel.
Where you struck the line, were you planning on digging? Well, obviously you were digging through there. Was there a point where you were going to hit a certain depth that you were going to begin digging by hand?
After I got the class five off, then I would have located it that way, but it's normal that it's not in the class five.
You stated a couple times you crossed this 11 times. Are you referring to the main? Are you referring to other service lines from the main? Or are you referring to this specific line?
No, the main.
The main, okay.
The main and some other, let's see. No, on this part, that part it would have been the main.
And then just for the record, we've heard a lot of other testimony. You haven't said it yet, but you'd indicated, have you paid the damages on this one? So that's no longer an outstanding allegation that on behalf of advocacy staff. Is that correct? It's been paid?
I'm taking that I did because they said I did. Honestly, my wife handles that part of it, and I didn't, like I said, I didn't know that some of this had been paid. But I understand if it's paid, why it's paid, and sometimes I let her make that call, and sometimes she'll call me and ask me. And I just plain, on this one, I believe I said it had to be paid. On the other ones, I don't remember that.
Sure. And I just state that because that might be a factor the commission takes into consideration if it's paid or unpaid as far as any sort of potential fine. And I yep. want to make. I think it's clear now that, that, yep. that it's been paid. So with that, I have no further questions for this one.
Ms. Jeffcoat-Sackle?
I'm probably the only one in the room who doesn't know this, but I'd like you to explain what Class 5 means.
It's under the best example is underneath the asphalt. They'll put a special mixture of soil that gets harder and holds the road firmer. It's like out on your country road. That'll be Class 5 that's on the road to hold it together instead of you driving on the natural dirt.
Okay, so you were taking this off, though, in order to put in the storm sewer? You were taking off Class 5 or putting on Class 5?
Okay, normal procedure on something like this. I have my excavator. Sometimes we strip the Class 5 off before we get to this, and which we had in this case up to about there, but we didn't know if they were going to move the manhole or not, so we just left it there. And then now here I would strip it off for reuse. Right when I got to that, and so that's normal for us to strip Class 5 like that.
And for other excavations with other locates, do you always use mechanical equipment to take off this Class 5?
Normally, yes.
That's all I have right now. Thanks.
Commissioner Kolk?
Thank you, Your Honor, and thank you, Tom, for enduring this morning's discussion and being here today. It was a couple years ago that we had a rate case in front of us, and there was a gentleman up, Fred Crosby. He came in, and on behalf of himself, he was part of the whole rate case. And at the end of the day, he made a big difference in how that case a little bit, really, things going forward. So I do appreciate you coming in, sharing your perspective, because there's always things for the commission to learn about improvements in One Call. There's things that the One Call board can learn, and I think there's also things that all excavators and everybody else can learn. So I think it's really good discussion to have someone like you that's got good experience in here to give us your perspective of how things are playing out. And you just indulge me a little bit here. So you've been doing this for 34 years, so you've got really good experience in it. Where was most of that work done? Has that been in North Dakota or Minnesota? Or you referred to Gopher One Call, and I think that's Minnesota.
Yeah, Gopher One Call is Minnesota. I would tell you I've been digging in North Dakota. Let's see.
Because the laws are different state to state.
Pardon?
The laws are different state to state.
No, I know. I've been digging in this state since 2009.
Okay. And during that time, are you part of the North Dakota One Call system, where you participate in their training and their annual meetings and the One Call board?
Don't believe I am, no.
Is there a reason why you're not part of that? Because I don't know that it's a requirement for excavators to belong to One Call, but I know that it's highly, highly encouraged, because that's where we have this discussion where you can share your insights with other excavators, and you can sit across a table with MDU and Excel and talk about these things in a general nature. So is there a reason why you have not joined up to that group?
I guess I wouldn't say no. I live in this state probably 8 to 10 months out of the year.
Did you belong to the similar group in Minnesota?
There is no requirement or anything like this in Minnesota. I would go to, they have one meeting, like you had said, a dinner every year, and I would go to that, but otherwise they didn't have anything else like that in Minnesota, and I don't do any work there anymore.
Well, and I, you know, always like to have people coming and doing more work, but the dinner I talked about last night was one of probably 50 that happened throughout the state. So whatever turns out here, I'd highly encourage you to get a hold of Ryan Schmaltz from One Call and be a participant in the One Call system, because my next question is going to be, have any of your employees participated in any of the One Call training? And I'm guessing if you don't belong to the board, they probably haven't participated in the training. So have your employees participated in any of the One Call training?
I won't say employees. My wife may have did something, but I don't think any of the employees have.
Okay. Are you familiar with the North Dakota One Call handbook, the most recent version, 2013 and 14? Have you ever looked?
I've read through it, but it's a normal, be careful type handbook.
It does lay out, I think, clear some of the questions that have come up today. So I'm just trying to get a sense for how the business practices of your business are, where It's very important for us all to be communicating and training. And how do your employees get trained on what the rules might be for different cities, communities, different states? Do you have annual training with your employees on anything required?
We have a company meeting, and we'll address about, talk about locates and when they need to be done. But normally all the locates go through my wife, and she does all the locates based on our information to her.
How do you get from your wife calling the locates to the actual, if you're not on the job site, who's out there to make sure that the people are trained? It's the same problem we have with locators. Locators aren't trained. They do mislocates. How do you make sure your employees are trained to follow appropriate rules and laws in North Dakota?
My people, the people that are in charge that would be out there have been doing this for many years, and I would tell you that they've probably been trained more by me than they have anybody else.
Okay, and so how do you ensure that you're keeping up with relevant changes in North Dakota laws and best practices?
Some of that is some of these law changes, I actually learned about the last law changes from the cable locators.
I mean, that's hopefully the discussion we can go through, because in North Dakota, the last session, the defined change from 0 to 25,000 instead of 0 to 5, locates have been changed from being good from 10 to 21 days. And quite honestly, I've heard from excavators that maybe 21 days is too long. I know Minnesota's 14. And so
it's too long.
And that's the part of the discussion that I'd really encourage you to get involved with the One Call Board, because they need to hear that. And then we can make, because I'm not wed to 21 days or 10 days. It's just a discussion that moves back and forth, where people doing the locates at 10 days, they felt they just couldn't keep up with the locates and there was no higher risk added if you went to a larger amount. Maybe 21 is too many. And maybe we need to sit back to 14. So however this comes, I really would encourage you and your company to get involved with One Call, because it's very important. We're going to continue to build things in North Dakota, and we have to keep doing it right. So if you could do that, that'd be great.
After this experience, I will. I guarantee you.
Well, and that's just, it's all part of us. We're all stakeholders in this together. I think that's the end state here, is that nobody wants these things to happen. And that's, I guess, the enough for the apple pie kind of stuff. But the you talked about you paid the bill and you have insurance. If let's just say, and I'm not saying that we're going to do this, okay, but let's say the commission fined you $5,000, and then would you file an insurance claim to pay for that, or how does that work?
Insurance is only on the damage I did to the utility.
So yeah. When a company has to pay a fine, it comes out of your operating?
It comes out of my pocket.
Okay. Do you feel that the $500 fine that was recommended by staff would put your company at risk of being viable?
I wasn't arguing about the fine at all. It actually had nothing to do with the fine. It had to do with what was right or wrong.
So you're saying the $500 is not the point. You just do not feel, despite you paid the fine, despite you paid for the damages, you feel that you are not negligent.
Not in the circumstances.
Okay.
I mean, every time you dig in the ground, it's all different. You can't see underground. And it's just every time it's a different circumstances. You might dig and cross something 200 times and not have a hit. And then you may have a hit because the line wasn't like this. Somebody else had hit it and put it in and laid it in like a snake. And so circumstances change everything.
So on that, that's the part, Tom, and I'm still trying to get clear, is you're saying that, let me rephrase this, I understood in the previous testimony that there's a valid locate, that everyone agreed there's a valid locate. You're saying where the line was hit, was that outside of where it was located, or was it inside?
No, not where it was hit, no.
So then how could it, I'm not sure how, I'm trying to tell you, you're saying if you agree that it was a valid locate and you knew where it was and you still hit it, how could that not be your fault?
It was my fault that I hit it, because I hit it. But it wasn't my fault that somebody, it's the circumstances. If I brought you out there and we went into the same scenario and you'd been digging for 30 years and the lines come up, they normally come off the gas main, they come up and they're at a nice even keel, especially a new line that was just put in. And I don't know if Central Trenching bored it in, but I'm going to assume they did, but I don't know. But
Was your bucket outside? Because in your discussion, you talked about your bucket didn't actually hit it. It was the backside of pushing up in the rock, and the rock actually caused, in your opinion, the line to break. So was your bucket outside that 2 feet?
It was 12 inches deep. It's supposed to be 18 or 24 inches.
But where was your bucket at?
Well, my bucket, when it hit it?
Well, the bucket, the way you explained it,
I took the dirt right off the whole top of it. I mean, with the bucket, with the teeth up in the air, and then this, and then you just drag it along.
So you brought the bucket across the top of where the line was located.
You curl it up more than, you know, with the teeth up, yep, just a little bit, because you don't want to snag anything in case. Because I dig, I'm a little proactive the way I dig, I'll just put it that way. I've found so many utilities that aren't located that my experienced operators dig a lot the same way. A lot of times we don't hit them. We find them first. We probably find, I would say, venture to say anywhere from 5 to 25 unlocated utilities in a summertime. And I would also say what scares us more than anything is when we hit abandoned ones that are not marked.
And we've had experienced that in this commission where abandoned lines have been hit, so we're very familiar with that. The part that I'm still trying to reconcile is,
okay,
the one call procedures in their book and in the law says that if you're in this zone, hand dig, or you don't use mechanical. See, but you're admitting that you used mechanical across the top. Now, you're talking a lot about the Class 5, but you're saying that you did use something mechanical in the zone that's the hand dig zone.
Am I supposed to dig, from what I'm reading you, every ounce of the line up to ensure that I don't hit it? Normally we'll pothole it and pothole it and pothole it at different areas. Where we potholed it right here, it was 3 feet deep. 3 to 4 feet away, it was 1 foot deep. That's not normal. What do you call reasonable for me to dig it up?
Well, and that's, I understand your point about the change in line depth, but the protocol is that it doesn't matter what the depth, it's your responsibility to make sure. So, yeah, that's the requirement. And that's the part that if the law needs to change, if the guidelines need to change, but that's the way it says.
And now I didn't do it, but if I'd have dug it up over here on this side, it would have been 3 feet deep too. Okay, because it actually got deeper in some of them areas there. It was down 4 or 5 feet because when they backfilled it, they just threw it in the trench. But if I'd have dug it up over here and dug it up over here, hindsight knowing what it is, I'd have still cut this off because I'd have assumed it. But then I'd have cut it right off because I'd assumed it was the same height as both of them potholes.
I'm still trying to figure out if you know exactly. I mean, the line runs here one way, and you're crossing at this point. There's a very exact point where you're going to cross according to the locate. So it just seems to me that that's where you want to.
My hole is from.
It's much larger than that because you're doing the storm.
My hole is from here to Randy White.
Understood.
I mean, we have a safe ditch type deal. We're not real deep. We're only 6 foot deep probably there, but we still have a nice safe hole that you can walk in and out of, and we just shape it that way. And so,
understood.
Yep.
I think you talked about the Class 5, like almost like a waiver that if you're removing Class 5, you can use a bucket. And I'm unfamiliar with anywhere in North Dakota law that says that you can remove Class 5 with as like a waiver of 12 inches less. I've never even seen that in North Dakota law anywhere. Where are you referring to the guidance that says that you can do that?
When you're blading a road, you don't need cable locates, right?
That's not. I'm talking about North Dakota one call procedures.
No, I know, but that's what I'm talking about is if you're blading a road, you don't need even one call. And you're asking for advice. Maybe it should be at one of your meetings or an opinion. But
where is I understand there's best practices. You're out in the country road and you're doing the road that's already established. You don't need a one-call ticket because you're not digging. I get that. But you're trying to apply that same standard to construction?
Well, it's an example is what it is. I mean, I can give you one other example. In Fargo, I was tearing out 12.
But Tom, what I'm trying to figure out is what's your best rationale? Are you saying that because you did the best you could with using your care required and there was an anomaly that in the deconstruction, that's why you hit it, or are you trying – and so that's the reason you're not negligent, or is it the reason you're not negligent because you're authorized to use the bucket moving class five?
No, it's not about the authorized to the bucket. That was an example.
Okay. I was just trying to clarify that because I wasn't buying that.
It was that I potholed it here.
Okay.
And because of somebody else's negligence of burying it incorrectly, I cut it off.
Okay. That makes sense. Have you in this? I'm not saying negligence here or anything, but have you ever had a scenario in your 34 years where, in a period of 26 days, you've been involved in four strikes, line strikes? Because you were somewhat involved in. Well, you were involved in all of them, whether you're negligent or not.
I only had, as far as I'm concerned, one strike. The other two weren't strikes because it was a crack in the fitting and a crack in this.
But is that common to have that much discussion in that small a period in the excavation business?
I'll just say when bad luck follows you, you can go for 6 months and not hit one, and then within a week you hit two.
Like speeding tickets.
It's kind of like sometimes you're lucky and sometimes you're not, or you make your own luck, but...
So based on the experiences you've had in the last... while, are you going to change any of your procedures that you now use in North Dakota when, from the time you call in a locate till you complete construction? Or are you going to keep doing things the way you've always done them?
When I'm working around MDU's gas line now, I'm going to dig it up all the way instead of just do a pothole.
That just for MDU? What if it happens to be One Oak or?
No.
Right.
We pothole everything. It's just that...
See, one thing I think it's become apparent to me is that, you know, we've got this 24 inches, if you will, on either side, but your actually digging is going to be much broader than any of that zone because of what you're putting in.
See, normally we come in and try to locate it before we're even close to that 24 inches because more than once that you'll find a locator doing his best and there's a couple lines there and it'll throw the signal off over to the side.
Right.
And so... the person who pays for the labor on that is me, and so sometimes I think we do more than our due diligence when it comes to that because you'll dig for hours and hours sometimes, and finally after you're frustrated, you call the locator up, and he comes out, and he tries to help you. And so it's a work together sometimes, but...
The last question, unless I think of something else, Tom, what do you think is a reasonable resolution for this commission for this hearing? Do you think that we should stick with the $500 recommended fine? Do you think it should be increased? Do you think it should go away? What do you think is reasonable for this commission to do in this case?
Obviously, I'm a business person, and I would say I would like to see none. And obviously, I think it's up to you what you do. And I'm not sitting in your chair and stuff like that. I mean, we learn something new every day, and I learn plenty today.
Are you claiming zero responsibility in this case or a little bit of responsibility?
Oh, no. I was there, and I did the damage. So I'd say I have responsibility in this case.
But not neglect?
Not the neglect. I have responsibility, but not the neglect, because I tried.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Commissioner Chrisman?
Sorry, I'm just making a note.
It's okay.
Thank you. And Tom, kind of to reiterate what some of Commissioner Kalk's statements about, really appreciate you being here. We learn from having people with expertise in areas like this. And so I appreciate you taking your now over a half a day to spend with us. If you looked out the window where the shade is preventing you from doing that, you'd see them digging up a street here that's going to be repaved. I don't know if it's going to be moved or what, but do you do that kind of work too, where you dig up the asphalt?
Yes.
And then the class five is the aggregate material that's under that, correct?
Yes. And the example I was going to give you about the, like you're tearing the street up in Fargo, I was tearing up 12 inches of concrete and it was broke up. The gas lines were laid against the concrete, or when they put them in, they had a contractor they probably don't use anymore. And when we're taking the concrete up, you know, we slide it. We broke three gas lines off doing that. And there, it's kind of like sometimes there's, it's different every time that something happens. And
that was exactly the where I was going with trying to figure this out. What's the thickest asphalt you've seen or concrete on a road?
Pardon?
What is the thickest asphalt or concrete you've seen on a road? Some of the old asphalt roads can be pretty thick, right?
Asphalt generally is not more than 12 inches thick, like on a state highway maybe. I would tell you when they build a new construction, the Class 5 will be in North Dakota is anywhere from 4 inches to 12 inches. And then that asphalt is anywhere from 2 inches to 8 inches.
Are you aware of any contractors that where there's a marking that there's some kind of a cable or line buried that remove that asphalt or concrete all by hand, or does everyone go in with an excavator to tear out the asphalt first?
Everyone, well, you have to use a machine to do the removals. Yep, down into, and you all actually take some of the subbase out a little bit too because you're working that close. Yep.
Okay, I have no other questions. Thank you.
Mr. Thompson, any additional testimony you want to provide?
I got a couple, actually, not based on Randy's questions.
Sure.
Just, Tom, because we have you here and we can maybe continue to learn some things. So in the scenario that you're talking about where, let's say you are going to remove, and this is not in this case, but we're kind of extending out here a little bit. In a case where you're asked to do some work and the route of something runs underneath a highway, you know, the only practical thing is to do just what you talked about. So that does put in conflict right off the bat some of our guidelines and procedures. So it'd be interesting to, what would be your recommendation of like a best practices when you have those areas? Because the ones you're talking about in Fargo, I'm actually aware of those, and we've had other cases where people have built homes and then they've got their gas infrastructure and then they widened their driveway. We've had some near misses out there and trying to get the, what is the way to handle some of that? What do you think is a best practice?
I mean, after we cut the first one off, we come to the gas company and says, can you tell us which ones are really shallow in here?
But do you ever go to a point where when you get concerned about what the infrastructure is, there's shutoffs that take place before you continue digging? Have you ever gone to that scenario where if you just don't, you know, you're in an area where there's just so much infrastructure that you're not quite sure, you talk to the utilities and they shut off gas while you're doing the excavating?
It has never come to that, but that is a mostly it's never come to it because the utility would not like it very well and understood. Wants you to work around it. But, I mean, it would be an alternative and a lot safer one. There is no doubt if they can't, if like, the gas lines are right up against the concrete and stuff like that. I mean, that same job, I tore the cable TV out 6 times because it was poured in the concrete.
Sure.
And After about the second time, the big boss came out, witnessed it, and went, we're going to replace it all. But shutting the gas line off might be a challenge for the gas company.
You're not going to be doing construction in the middle of winter, but it is a sidebar discussion. But thank you, Tom.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Norell, any additional questions?
Yes, Your Honor, thank you. Tom, I was just wondering, You said you potholed the line about 3 to 4 feet away from where you struck.
Right there, yeah.
Did you pothole the main when you potholed, or was it the service
line? It was this line.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, thank you. No further questions.
The main was over probably another 10 feet, I would say, from this, 8 feet.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ms. Jeff Kotsako?
No questions, thanks.
I have one more.
Go ahead, Commissioner Kalk.
Tom, the last legislative session, we had some very heated debate downstairs about myself and others wanted the one call locates to be done with white lining, where they basically come out and paint the line of the infrastructure. And there was significant pushback on that, and that's not part of the law right now. What are your thoughts on white lining so there can even be a more accurate location instead of having the flags X amount of feet apart?
I understand what, and in some cases I would tell you it would not be a bad idea, but if I go out and want you to locate 3 miles down a county road in that ditch, it would not be practical at all for me to do that because it's very obvious. A lot of times, I guess experience with doing a locate, you tell them I'm going 1,000 feet from this intersection heading east on this road, and I would like all the road right away marked. And in a sewer and water project, probably like this is out here, and I would say I also would like 20 feet of onto private property on each side of this right-of-way located too, and it goes from block to block, from intersection to intersection. It's a very easy locate for them, okay? And in them cases, I would say no. But there is certain cases where it's in the middle of nowhere where it would be handy for the locator to have some type of white flags or white paint that say we need, and part of it is, and why the locators want this is they don't want to have to locate a half a mile when they only need to, and I feel for them when it comes to that because I'm not going to make them do any more than they have to. I'm going to make sure I have a meet if it's a complicated locate. And I don't know how to answer your question on whether it should be white or not. I would rather see it not, but
once again, it's a balance of time and safety.
It's a balance of that between everything. But if you,
how about positive response? Where I think Minnesota has positive response and North Dakota doesn't. Where
Minnesota doesn't have positive response any more than
they say they do. Okay.
Then they say they do.
All right.
you come to Minot and I'll show you Keekly out of Minnesota, Quam out of Minnesota, S.J. Lewis out of Minnesota. All the big guys are there, and they would tell you they wouldn't support the white line.
And they've told me that before. All right, thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Chrisman?
Nothing else.
You can step down, Mr. Thompson. Advisory staff had requested earlier a response with respect to whether there's any standards or anything, and do we have something on that now? That, or is that
not as of yet, Your Honor?
Okay,
but we can certainly file a late filed exhibit.
That's fine. We can do it late filed. I just, if there was something now, we could address it now. But if not, that's fine. Mr. Norrell, do you have a closing statement you'd like to make?
Just briefly, Your Honor, I'd like to thank you and the commissioners for your time and attention here today. We had a valid locate in this situation, and we had a physical facility that was hit by mechanized digging equipment right underneath that locate. We're lucky no one was injured, no one was killed, and I think that we need to keep the big picture in view here, that we had infrastructure hit. This is a dangerous situation, and we need to address it, you know, as such. And with that in mind, the state would, or the advocacy staff would rest this case. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Thompson, would you like to make a closing statement?
Well, I could say I'm glad no one was hit, and no one was hit. And I thought I did my diligence to dig it up, and I dug it up right there next to it, and I cut it. I admit that. That's my fault. But negligence, I don't think I was negligent because I was doing what I did for years. Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco, do you have any closing comments?
No, just to thank everyone.
Okay. Commissioner Kolk?
Well, thank you, Honor, and thank you, everyone, for being involved today. It was really a worthwhile discussion, and the way it'll work right now, as soon as advocacy staff gets that late filed exhibit in, we'll schedule a quick work session on it. And the three commissioners, we don't talk about cases unless we're in a work session, because then it's a meeting. We got to make sure we're doing it the right way. So we'll have a work session on this, and I think we'll come to a decision, I won't say fairly quickly, but as soon as we can. And I think the big thing, the takeaway for me, for all of us in this thing, is there's always knowledge we can all learn in this. I'm sure MDU picked up some things today. And the anomalies that that were talked about today in the pipeline construction may become the, I would say, will become a topic of a PI meeting in the future. It's our periodic exchange of information. So no matter what happens in this case, you've spawned some discussion with the companies on where we know of our infrastructure's at, because it's not just MDU. Throughout the entire state, we're always trying to get a good feel for where is our underground telephone, where is the fiber at, where is the pipelines at, where is the power lines at. And there's so much growth going on in North Dakota, it's important that we do that. But it's also important that we keep doing the digging. And I really, Tom, would encourage you to be involved in the One Call Board, because that's who we look at, we being the regulators, with what's the best practices, what we should do. And I think everyone wants to make sure they're building things safely, keeping businesses vibrant and doing the right things. But there are some people out there that aren't following the rules or that aren't aware of them, and trying to get as many people into it. And you talked about S.J. Lewis. They've been in front of us before, too. So there's a lot going on out there. Just so thank you for coming today, and just stay in touch with our staff and us, and we'll come to a decision this as quick as possible.
Thank you. Commissioner Chrisman?
Just 2 points of interest to further delay Mr. Thompson from his meeting he has in Minot in only an hour, but I just want you to realize, first of all, the PI meetings stand for Periodic Information Exchange. People around here seem to like abbreviations. There's no PI there, so I don't want it to sound more glamorous than what it really is. And secondly, if we seek advice on some particular legality or something, we will be going through our staff attorney here, Ms. Jeff Kotsako. It's not the two against one thing here. She is who we will deal with. Now, in this case, Mr. Fahn and Mr. Mormon will not be in here trying to bend our ear and persuade us in their direction. So I don't want you to feel like it's a two against one thing. And that's about it. But again, thanks for your time today.
Are there any other matters that anybody would like addressed prior to closing the hearing? No. Hearing none, we will close the hearing. Thank you.